Amen. Amen. Do I look like Brother Moore? Well, they are still going out of town. Hallelujah. Getting a break. Amen. Lord's helping us, right? They should be back on Sunday for any of you visitors that are here. It's still going to be good. Lord's going to help us. Amen. Amen. He's going to help us. He always has helped us every time we've had church. You know, I know he's helped us. Give us good music, gives us good people. Amen. He's a good God. You know, that's we've been talking a little bit about God's goodness on Wednesday nights in prayer. You know, and one thing that you always know, no matter what you're going to study in the Word of God, if you'll start from the foundation of God is good, you can't mess it up. If he's good. If it gets up there and you say, oh, now it doesn't look like he's good, go back to the foundation. God is good. He's a good God. I like to start everything I do for God with that in mind, with that foundation. I don't want to do anything without the full recognition of His goodness. Not just the knowledge of it, but the recognition of His goodness in our life. Because He is a good, good God doing good things for us. Amen? Amen. I was listening to Rick talking about copying off those tapes. Man, did we copy off some tapes. Praise God. The Moores were giving away tapes way before now. They were giving away tapes. More Life Ministries gave away lots of tapes. As many as we could get that little bitty duplicator to make. We made some tapes. We called and asked, and they said, yeah. Yeah, make them. And we gave them away by the handfuls. We still would have, you know, if they weren't free, we'd still be giving them away. But they're free now. Everybody can get them. Praise God. Praise God. You know, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. We have been personally hooked with More Life Ministries before this church began. Of course, when the church began, I came running. I mean, we were just down the road, and as quick as we could get here, we were here. And I asked God one day, you know, after I'd been serving here for just a real short time, and I said, God, what is it? And I've shared this in Wednesday night prayer. God didn't let me share it for years. He never had led me to share it, but He finally led me to share it just in recent times. But I said, what is it about this ministry and these people that draws me, that is different? And he told me to write it down, and I did, because he said, if you don't, you'll forget it, because I'm not going to let you say it again for a while. And I said, okay, and I wrote it down. And he said, real simple, he said, they serve me with intensity. And he said it just that way, not saying I heard an audible voice in my heart. I heard him say, they serve me with intensity. You know, there's lots of people out there serving God. There's lots of people out there doing good things. There's lots of good things happening in there today. Great ministries, not saying anything that they're doing, the only ones serving with intensity. But what drew me here, and what I found here, was a ministry serving God with intensity. And intensity to me at that time doesn't even mean as much as it means today, because I had a lot of growing to do. I can tell you that for sure. But intensity to me meant you took what God gave you and you did every possible thing you could with it. You didn't miss anything. You tried to find more that you could do with what He gave you to do. You took your ministry and the Moores do this. They are always looking for what God wants them to do next. They are always they're making sure the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted. They're watching over it, but they're serving God with intensity. They want things to go well, not because they want to look good. They want God and the kingdom of God to be advanced. They want the name of Jesus Christ to be exalted. And that's what we want as a church. Is my mic popping? It's gonna quit. Amen? But that, to me, exemplifies how this church has grown from 6 years ago. Is it 6 years now? Going on more. But But it started and it's went from level to level. But we see people coming into this church and they've got to be drawn by the same thing because they're now serving with this same intensity. We're going from level to level with this intensity. God is moving us from faith to faith, from glory, from activity to activity, from building to building, from everything we're doing. He's moving us and we're keeping our intensity. It's not been a run. You know, there's times where, you know, there's times, and you guys have experienced with us, where we've pushed hard and ran fast. But most of the time, it's just been a jog. It's been steady, and it's been hard. And we've, you see why I wouldn't like it, jog. Yeah. No. And my flesh has not liked it sometimes. But it has been steady, and it's been a steady pressure, and it's been good, because God is taking us up higher. Right? As we've gotten in this building, Brother Moore said it, and I think we all are in agreement, we're going further up. We're going to the next level. You know what? Everybody in here doesn't know what God has in store for us, but we're going to do it with intensity, aren't we? And as we look at the things of God and we look at intensity, you know, so many times I've caught myself doing it in my chair there. I'll say, I'll hear something Brother Moore is talking about. And I'll say, you know, I think I'm okay in that area. And immediately, the Holy Spirit will check me. And he'll say, the minute you think you're okay, you're satisfied with where you're at. Right? Do we want to become satisfied with where we're at? Are you going to come to the place in God where that's as far as I want to go? I'm now satisfied. And if I sit in my chair and I think, well, yeah, I'm pretty good in that area, you know. Intensity, yeah, been pretty intense. Could you be more intense? Could you be more if you learned more about it? Or you're gonna go, if you don't, you're going to go backwards. It's because the other option is decrease, right? Let's open our Bibles to Matthew. I didn't even say open up your Bible tonight, did I? Matthew 25. And let's look at serving with intensity. The way I would describe serving with intensity, doing anything for God, and to do it right, you do it with all of your heart. With all of your heart. You can do a lot of things, but unless you do them with all of your heart, unless you add your heart to the things of God, you'll never do it well. You'll never do it to the best of your ability. Right? You've got to do it with all your heart. That's the intensity I've been talking about in this ministry. That's the intensity we want in our lives, right? No matter what we're doing, we want that intensity in our lives. Amen? Amen. Matthew 25... starting in verse 14. Everybody there? Hallelujah. It says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey. I'm reading out of the NIV, by the way, guys. Don't want to mess anybody up, but, you know, there's fifth grade reading levels and they're... NIV tonight. We'll go back and forth on some different translations, but I'm going to read it out of the NIV. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. I'll stop there for just a second. Who decided what their ability was? The master. The master knew their ability before he handed them the money, before he gave them the ability. He knew their ability before he gave them into their ability, right? He knew what they could do before he gave it to them, right? You think God knows what you could do before? You know how many times has God told you to do something? You say, I can't. You know, I don't think I can do that, God. He knew you could do it before he asked you, or he wouldn't ask you. Don't be ripping your... Look at that. Gotta have tape. Rip my Bible. It's my old Bible. That's the Bible you can go to and say, I think it's about right here. When you don't know the chapter and verse, oh yeah, it's right there. That's the one I like. But the master knew his ability, knew all 3 of these men's abilities before he gave them anything to do. Right? So as you read this, you've got to read it with that in mind. It wasn't like it was a surprise to them. It wasn't, you know, it was that he knew their abilities. Now, what they do with it is up to them. The man who received 5 talents went at once That's intensity right there. That is the start of intensity. You know, so many times you get something, and then you go and you sit down and you think, well, I got a little time. I'll wait and do this later. You know, you see people do it. I can wait. You know, I don't have to get that done today. You know what? Something else is coming up. Go ahead and get it done. Right? If something else is coming up. God doesn't, you know, He's not sleeping. He's waiting on us. If we'll get something done, you'll have something else to do. Right? You're not going to have to wonder what you'll do. Yeah, I don't want to do it too fast, then I'll get bored and won't have. No. You go at once. This man went at once. I'll try to keep my chin off that maybe. Went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more talents. He didn't wait a while. He didn't say, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? You hear people say that and then they laugh and then they don't do it. You know, and you're like, and then you go to him and say, hey, I need you to do this. Well, I didn't get this done. Well, what if God came to you, gave you this to do, and then the next day came to you and he said, oh, I want you to do this today. And you said, oh, I still didn't do what you told me to do yesterday. Well, you won't have to think about it because he won't come to you the next. If you didn't do, see, you got a lot of people in the world today. They're saying, gosh, I'm just waiting on God to tell me what to do. And he's sitting there saying, you still haven't done what I told you to do last. Right? You're still holding the 5 talents I gave you. Right? So get up and go do now. But if you do like this man, this is who we are. Right? This is us. This describes faith. Raise your hand if this describes you. If you didn't raise your hand, go ahead and raise it now. You want to be this way. Right? You don't want to be wishy-washy. You want to get up and go and do. You know, I always think about my wife when I think about task-oriented people, because she does one thing at a time. And if you give her 2 or 3 things, the second and third thing aren't getting done until the first thing is done. She can't even think about the other 2 things, nor will she, until the first thing is done. That's a good way to be sometimes. That's a good way to be a lot of times. You know, because a lot of people say, oh, I can do this, this, and this. Well, you aren't supposed to have to do this, this, and this, because if you'd have done this first, then this and this would just be waiting. Right? And if you did this first, you probably wouldn't have had all of that. But look straight ahead. He didn't wait. He went right away, went at once, put his money to work, and immediately, because of his intensity, he didn't just gain 1 or 2 or 3. He increased 100-fold. Right? He increased. He had 5. He got 5. Is that 100? Okay. Not a mathematician either. Right? Well, you know, you say these things because so many people are satisfied with average. You know, they're satisfied with average. You know, well, he gave me 5. Most people are getting 2. I'll get 2.5. And they're okay with that. You know what? In the world today, that's become good. You know, if you go out and you compete, and they say, well, you got second. Well, second didn't win. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting some mean looks now. Okay. Second didn't win. I'm second, okay, but you're training to get first, right? If you're intense, you want the best, right? You're looking for the best. If you are with all your heart doing something and second is what you get, you did your best, right? So many times people are like me in school, and kids, shut your ears. At the end of the year in high school, I had to go to the office and get the combination to my locker to get in it. I'm being honest, because I had not been to it all year. Now, I didn't flunk. I didn't get D's. I got C's. And I was satisfied with that. I got A's and P, you know. So I took a lot of PE, you know, because I could get A's there, keep my grade point up there at that high 2.1 or something like that. You know, big, make myself look smart. How I ever got into college. They needed the money. But I was satisfied to be average. I was okay with just getting by. And when you do that in one area, you'll find yourself doing it in others. As long as it's good enough. Right? It's just, it's good enough. That's okay. It may not even be that bad. You know, it might be okay. Do you want okay when you're talking about the things of God? No. You're looking for the best. You're looking for pressing in and getting the highest, the best, number one, winning. Right? Call it what you want. What does that t-shirt say? Second place is first loser. Right? Is that what this says?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we want to do our best. And in that case, I was satisfied to be average. And sometimes we're taught that that's okay to be satisfied with being average. In the things of God, there's no place in His Word where average is okay. He's given us great and precious gifts, the gifts we've been learning about on Friday night. Without those, you will be an average Christian, right? You'll walk around powerless, right? Form of godliness, no power. You'll be very average. Nothing great will happen in your life. You won't be able to pray beyond your English language, right? You won't be able to hear from God. And you know what? That's easy. That is easy. You've got a high percentage of the church today living that way, and they're saying, well, I don't believe in that. You know what? It ain't a question. A lot of times I don't believe in it. It's a question of it's easier. I can kind of do what I want. Nobody bugs me. You know? Because you start walking around in the power of God, people going to bug you. Right? You start laying hands on the sick and they get well, you might see a few more people. Right? You start praying when people say, hey, can you pray for me? And they come back the next day and say, wow, you prayed and woo, wow. You start doing that, people are going to come see you. Right? Why? Because you're serving with intensity. Right? You're going for all of it. You're not satisfied with missing out on one thing that God has. You're not satisfied unless you have it all. Right? Are anybody in here going to be satisfied? No. No, I'm preaching to the choir right now. That's all right, but we can go further, right? Amen. Where was I? Clear back in verse 16. Hallelujah. Went at once, got his money, increased 100-fold. Second guy, the one with 2 talents, he was offended because he didn't get 5. Oh, didn't say that, did he? You know what? That would happen here in the church today, though, wouldn't it? Well, they gave Rob 5, and I only got 2. I ain't doing nothing. If I can't get 5, forget it. Forget it. I'll go sit down. 5 or nothing for me, man. You got people all over the world not serving God because they didn't get 5. Right? Well, he got to drive the cart and I got to wave the flag. I'm not working on this parking lot team no more. Now, you know, it's according to your ability. And if your ability's 2, just like this guy, he didn't complain. He didn't whine. He didn't moan. He took his 2, said, you know what? The master just gave me 2. Right? Both these guys were excited. They were excited that one got 5, the other got 2. They're like, yeah. The master gave me 2. He did just like the one immediately, because it says same as he went out just like that one, right? At once, gained 2. Hallelujah, 100-fold. You know, that's how God's judging. He's not saying, well, you only had 2, so it was a lot easier for you. No, it was the same hard for him. He exerted the same amount of effort to gain the 2 that the other guy exerted to gain the 5. Right? Why? He did it according to his ability. He didn't whine. He didn't moan. He didn't cry. I like crying. You guys like crying? You like to be around people that cry? No. No. You like to be around people that are excited. When they get something, when the church calls and they say, hey, we got something to do today. You know, and they say, really, what is it? Bathrooms are a little dirty. Need a little extra help with the cleaning team today. You know, so I'm on my way. Are you on it? Oh, you know, I'd have done anything. I ain't doing the bathrooms. Come on. You know, I've been in ministry. You know? That's what my mind was thinking when I was weed eating last year. But I weed eated. I didn't let my mind think too long. Yeah, and we're not talking about what the difference between what your mind thinks and what your heart does. I don't care what my mind thinks. I'll override it with my heart. Right? Because I'm serving God with all my heart. Not all my mind. Not all what I think. Now, I am going to serve Him with all my mind because my heart's going to override. And it's going to say, guess what, mind? You're serving holy. Right? And it don't have no choice when it's out there. Whoop, weed eating. Rob came and weed eated with me. He looked like he liked it as much as I did. Guess what, though? The church looked the way it was supposed to look the next day. Amen. And that's what we want. You know what? What if that person drove in and said, you know, and it may be weird, but they say, yeah, they can't keep their grass anymore better than this. I'm not going here today. And they had a word from God there today. Yeah. You know, you could think, well, if that's all that bothered them, forget it. No, don't forget it. I don't want them to be bothered. Let them come on in. Maybe they can get delivered from both those problems in the same day. Yeah. Amen? Because you could. You get delivered from both those problems in the same day. So we're not looking, first of all, to do anything else. They would have compared themselves with themselves, right? And the Word of God tells us not to do that. They didn't do it. Both went out, 100-fold return. Amen? That is good. That's intensity. That is what we like to do. What about this next guy? But the man who received one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. That is the easiest thing to do. Right? He's done. All he had to do was dig a hole, put the money in, cover it up. And then, for as long as the master was gone, he had nothing else to do. Right? That's the easy way out. Guys, Christians are doing it all over the world today. They are getting things. We're doing it. You know, I've done it. We've all done it. We're getting things. You know what? Could be ignorance. With this guy, it wasn't. It's obvious. It wasn't ignorance, or else the master would have came back and he'd have said, you know, you just didn't understand. Let me take you to the side and explain this to you. That's not what happened, right? We'll read that later. But it wasn't ignorance. It was laziness. It was the easiest way. It was the simplest thing you can do. And it took no effort. Failure takes no effort. Right? Getting last place. Second place, you might exert a little bit of effort. Third place, a little more, little less. Last place, you can walk. Right? I did it. You know, in high school, we had to run the mile before the season started to play football. I never practiced. Why? Because I wasn't going to run the mile. I was rebellious and disobedient, and I didn't practice, and I had the worst time. You know why? Because I didn't practice, didn't care, and it was easier not to. So I chose not to. Got last, looked real cool, I'm sure. Now that I look back at it, I can imagine how cool I must have been. Wow. I feel cool standing in front of you guys just talking about it right now. But guess what? I was getting C's back then too and okay with it. So you can see where my attitude was slipping from school to football, right? Got a job. I'm sure I was average or less employee at that time. You know, now I learned better. Don't get me wrong. My mom and dad, they didn't raise me to be average. And they were not okay with it. Right? And so it wasn't like I wasn't hearing about it a little bit. Right? But I was satisfied at the time. So anyway, this man dug a hole, basically despised his ability because he didn't use his ability to do with what the master gave him, right, to increase more. So he despised his ability. You know, it doesn't say that, but he had to. Why would he have dug the hole? You know, and then we can go down. And you know what? I guess that he must have probably, asked me how I know, he probably sat around and thought of this excuse. He's going to have one. Guys, there's three servants Two of them know their master really well and go out, right? Why would the third one not know him equally as well? Five and two knew that he'd be pleased if they went out and got more, right? This other one, okay, if he doesn't know the master, he's been sleeping, but he hadn't. He knew, but he dug a hole anyway. So he's sitting around, he's saying, okay, the master is going to come back one of these days, and let's see what I'll tell him. I'll play dumb. I'll play dumb. Anybody done that in here? No. Keep your hands down. Here, I'll raise mine. I was afraid. You know, and we'll get to the excuse in a second. We won't get way ahead of ourselves. Hallelujah. God's helping us, isn't he? But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, hid his master's money. Good work. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received brought the other five talents. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more. Now, you know he's had to be waiting at the door, right? Oh, yeah, we're settling accounts today. He's going to be pleased, right? And that's how you want to go before God, too, isn't it? Oh, man, God told me to do this. Not only did I do it, I did it excellently. Excellently. So I've got it done now. I'm not waiting for the master to come to me. I'm going to him. I'm excited. I've now increased 100-fold with what he gave me. I'm excited. So I believe this man was that way. He was excited. You can tell he was. You entrusted me with five. See, I have five more. He wasn't saying it in pride. If he'd have been saying it in pride, the master wouldn't have responded the way he did. He was saying it because he knew it pleased the master. Right? When we go to God and we say, God, look what I did with what you gave me. You didn't say, look what I did. Look what I did with what you gave me. Right? That pleases God. Pleases God. That's not prideful. That's good. Amen? You entrust me with five, gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. I am so surprised. I can't imagine that you did this. Nope. Didn't surprise him. Didn't catch him off guard. The man did exactly what the master expected of him. Right? Now, the master was happy. What? He said he called him good and faithful. Why? Because he did what was expected of him. Faithful people do what's expected of them. Right? If you're faithful, why do we call God faithful? Because he always does what he says he'll do. Right? He always does good. Right? And this man, the master called this man good and faithful. Right? Not only that, you've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. He wasn't surprised. The man did exactly what he was trained to do, if you will, what the ability he had in him. The master knew his ability. He gave him what to do with the ability. He did exactly what that ability should have done. He was very pleased. Right? Why? Because he didn't say, well, I got three. It's pretty good, huh? No. You know what? Because it wouldn't have been, you know. And so many people would say, well, but he got three. Come on. At least cut him a little slack. Why? He got three. I'm preaching to myself. He got three, guys. We've been trained that that's okay. That's average. And as long as we're willing to say, well, I got three. You know, I came close. I mean, what if salvation were like that? Well, Jesus, I almost confessed you as Lord. Well, guess what? Almost ain't cutting it, is it? Right? I almost believed in healing one time. Guess you're still sick. Man, I came this close to believing prosperity. Didn't help, did it? No. He had the ability to deal with the five he was given and increase it 100-fold, and he did. That's what we're wanting to do anything God calls us to do, right? Anything God asks of us, anything that we can do at the church, anything we can do for God in your house, 100%. We want excellence, right? And we're not talking about the kind of excellence, ooh, that's got to be right there and that's got to be right there. Excellence in increasing, gaining, yeah, and it's got to be right there. You don't lose anything in our cabinets. Praise God. When I'm looking for something, there it is, face out, in order, every time. Then you know what people say? Well, that's just too far. No. Right? That's not too far. Would you rather have to dig? Well, it's back here somewhere. Maybe I'll get to it later, God. I had it. I know you gave it to me. It's back here. No. We want it in order, ready to go, with answers. Amen? Amen. Master wasn't surprised. The man with two talents, Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I've gained two more. Master wasn't surprised again. He didn't say, wow, I didn't think you could do it. You know, tests aren't given. You know, in other words, when you're given a test, like when you're in school and they give you a test, they expect you to know the answers, right? They're not giving it to you so you'll fail. They're giving it to you so you'll succeed. Right? God's not giving tests that we can't pass. All of His tests are open book, first of all. Right? He's giving you all the answers. Right? These were tests for these guys. Here you go. Take these. These were tests. The Master knew when He gave them to them, they could succeed. Right? But He also knew it was up to them. Right? What if they'd have said, well, God does what He wants to do. Basically what the last guy said. My Master does what He wants to do. It's what, you know, que sera, sera. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's when you dig the hole and stuff the money in it and cover it up. Right? Because that's what you believe about God. That's what tradition believes about God. That's what they say so they won't be, there won't be anything required of them. You requiring anything of people who are failing? Hey, you're a failure. Come work for me. Hey, yeah, great, looking for failures every day. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, we want to pay them big too, right? No, and God's not looking for people to fail. He made a way in His Word and gave us ability through His Word to win in every instance, to win in every situation. We have the ability to never lose, right? Praise God. And we're not planning. Here at Faith Life Church, we got any losers out there? No, I don't see a hand. If I see one, no. Put it down. No losers here. No losers here. Why? We're intense. We're intense about the things of God, the Word of God. We're intense about God's, the things of God being excellent and being the best they can be. Not just being okay. Right? Not okay is just not going to cut it. Right? There are a few things right now in the church that are okay. Guess what? They're on a list to not be okay. Right? Is that good English? To not be okay? It's not bad. You meant better. At least it wasn't a triple negative. They're on a list. Right? To get into the excellent category. Right? And we will get them into the excellent category. Amen? Amen. Two talents. Trusted him, wasn't surprised. Then we come. What did he say to this guy? He said the same thing. Interestingly enough, said the exact same thing. You know, he didn't say, well, we're not going to give you so much because the other guy had five. He's better than you. You know, he had five. He didn't say that. Why? Because he didn't differentiate between the two. They both did exactly what they were asked to do. Right? When we put levels on sin or we put levels on goodness, you know, they did more good than you. So they're gooder, I guess, is the word. No, they did the good to their ability. You did the good to your ability. Not one did more than the other. Just because you thought one was a better deed than the other doesn't mean it was. Right? We're not the judge. Thank God we're not the judge. Right? Well, I mean, people are doing that. You know, and one of the reasons you'll see people not serve a lot of times, they'll say, well, you know, they'll say just, well, I've been in ministry, you know. I don't know about that vacuuming thing. That's ministry, right? Yeah, I don't know if I can just usher. But, you know, I've laid hands on the sick. Great. Can you usher too? You know what? Fact is, we had to fill out a thing that one time that said what we didn't. Or somebody asked me and said, well, I've taught on Wednesday nights. I've done weddings. I've mowed the lawn. I've painted. Now, not a bunch. Not a bunch of that. I'm going to get those pictures out, though. I got a picture of me doing everything in the church for at least a second. Ammunition. But, you know, what is your job title? You don't have a job. Whatever God requires at the time. Why? Because He's given you the ability to do all those things excellently. Even the things I don't like. You know what? I don't like to mow the yard, but I can mow the yard, and I can mow a mean yard. I grew up mowing lawns. But you know what? I don't like it. My flesh still don't like it. But if the churchyard needs mowed and no one else is mowing, I'll go mow it. Right? Just like Brother Moore and Mrs. Moore, when they came to the first building we had and there were only two there, they didn't say, oh, we got to get a lot of people to start. They said, well, you start on one side, I'll start on the other. Why? It's serving God. It's all part of the same thing. It's not, we can't put levels on things. We can't, when we do, we limit what God, we limit our ability and what God can do through us. Right? You just went from 5 to 1, and you know what the guy with 1 did. So. Anyway, we don't want to limit God's ability. But if you do with the right thing, with whatever ability He gave you, it's good. Amen? So this master said the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. These two men put forth maximum effort. They did everything they could do to press forward this man's, the master's, that's who they were bettering. That's who they were increasing. It was his stuff. Right? He gave him his stuff, charge of his stuff. Didn't say he gave him, right? And they went out and took his stuff. That's intense. That's intensity, guys. You know, a lot of people do great things with their own stuff. Oh, this is mine. That's mine. Treat it like it's yours. The best employees, the best people to work for you will treat your business like it's theirs. Right? They won't treat you like you're their business. They're like, you're their hireling, but they'll treat your business like it's theirs, right? They'll care if nobody shows up. They'll care if the door's left unlocked. They'll care if the customer wasn't treated right. Why? They're treating it as their own. And because they're doing that, they are serving you with all their heart. And by doing so, they're increasing you, right? Now, it's a great thing to increase you because they're going to be blessed when they increase you. Right? If not, it's not part of the lesson. We won't go there. We're not saying anything about what a boss would be like that didn't bless his employees. Right? So the master comes, and I got to believe he had to go to this guy. I can't imagine that this guy came running to him. Right? You know, he didn't come out of his quarters carrying that dirty money that he just dug up. Look, Master, no. And Master had to come. I guarantee you, you know, when you ain't done the right thing. When you're a kid, when you're at work, if you haven't done it right, you can always tell someone that hasn't done right, you got to go to them. Right? Doesn't say whether he did or not. I'm guessing the Master had to go to him. The man who'd received one talent, Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man. Harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you'd not scattered seed. I was afraid, went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. He hands him that dirty money. Bag full of dirty money. He thought of this excuse for, you know, he'd had months. The guy's gone for months. I'm afraid. Let's see. I was afraid. Okay, that's a good one right there because I'm afraid. So, you know, that'll get his sympathy because, you know, I'm afraid. So immediately I got my boss's sympathy now, my master's sympathy, because I was afraid. And I'll even look, I was afraid. You know, I'll look afraid when he comes up. You know, I won't just be, you know, I'll look afraid. And because I was afraid, because I knew you were a hard man. Now, these other two guys that served the same master somehow didn't know this. Now, he should have told them so they wouldn't work so hard. Right? Many people do. Right? Oh, they're good people to have around you, too. Oh, you're new, you work for him? Oh, I do, too. Let me tell you about him. Hard man. Sows, reaps where he doesn't sow. Scatters what's on not on even his. You're going to hate working for him. If he asks you to do anything, just bury it in a hole and forget it. Is that the kind of advice you want? And is that what you want to hear about the guy you just went to work for? Or your master. Right? But these other two guys knew he was not like that. In fact, they knew he was a good man. Right? Because that's... people work hard for, you know what? They do. Right? They work hard for you. And then he could have said, you know, I just didn't know you were good. And the master would have said, no, you had the ability. I gave you this because you knew me. Right? Right? You know, people that don't know God, they rarely get, you know, they never get things from God. Why? They don't know him. They don't ask for things from him. Right? They don't expect things from him. They don't get. But if you know your master, if you truly know him, you know, not just know about him, know his heart. Know his heart. Right? That's how you seek somebody with all your heart, is if you know the heart of the God you're serving. Right? Remember, we go back to Psalm 107, where it talks about Moses and let's just go there. 107. Psalm 107. We'll come right back here. 107. Yeah, maybe I'm not right. 103, verse 7. How about that? Maybe that's it. Yeah, there we go. See, just had. Glad I had this Bible today, so I could turn right to it. 103, verse 7. It says, "He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel." You know, and we've talked about this before, but it bears repetition because it is one of the keys to serving God with all your heart. Moses knew the heart of God. Moses knew why God did what he did, right? He knew why he took them this way. He knew why they didn't get here. He knew what God was trying to accomplish with this. He knew the heart of God. He knew God loved them. What the Israelite children knew was his deeds. They knew what he could do. You got people out in the world today that believe in God and believe in his deeds, but are receiving nothing from him. Why? Because they only believe he can do it, right? They've heard, he can do this. I believe that. But they don't believe he will. They don't know his heart, right? You could believe he will forever, but not know he loves you and never get a thing and never do a thing, right? Because you can see what they wanted to do. They were okay with walking around the wilderness for 40 years on a 11-month trip or something like that? 11-day trip? It was a short trip. 11 days? They were okay with that. But when you know the heart of the master, then you'll do the most with the ability he gives you. Right? So the other two knew the heart of the master. Right? They weren't one bit afraid to go out and increase that 100-fold. This other guy, he obviously either didn't try to know the heart of the master, or let's go with the master. Because the master says, "You wicked and lazy servant." Now, he didn't say, "Well, you know what, I guess you just really didn't know me. I really love you. Let me give you another shot at that." No, he said, "You're wicked and you're lazy." In other words, your thinking is twisted and you're lazy. And the reason you didn't do anything with what I gave you is because you were too lazy to do it, so you sit with your wicked mind and thought up a reason not to. Right? And guess what? He failed. Surprise. Master wasn't surprised by what happened here either. If you're lazy and you're wicked, you fail. This man failed. Failed miserably. Tradition will do this to people. It will cause... That's why I like to start with that foundation of God is good. right? God is good will cause you to believe the best. It will cause you to believe good things about God. It will cause you to believe His Word. You know what? Because people say, well, you know, I knew people that prayed to be healed, and they never got their healing. And so, you know, pretty much sometimes God will heal you, sometimes God won't. You don't believe God's good. You don't know your God. You're not going to ask for anything, first of all, because you think He's doing whatever He wants to do. So it's not, He's scattering where He has not sown, and or reaping where He has not sown. He's doing basically whatever He wants to do, and there's nothing you can do about it. So throw up a prayer and wish, right? It's not hope. You throw up a prayer and wish that maybe, if just by chance, it happens good for you. Not that God's good, but every now and then He has a weak moment. Right? And that's what tradition will teach people to believe. You know, and they'll say, oh, no, we don't believe that. We believe God's good. We just believe He's got to teach you with the Satan stuff. No. 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 Did I say no?
No.
No. Satan has never been employed by God, never will be employed by God. He's not going to use him. He's not going to, you know what? He hates him. He hates him, right? You want to know the master? What do we do when we want to know the master? Jesus is the master. And if I want to know what God is like, I can see what God is like by looking at Jesus every time. What? Because it says in Hebrews, He was the express image of God on the earth. Right? So if Jesus did it, that's what God would have done. When Jesus came to sick people, what happened to them? They got well. When He came to situations, they got fixed. Right? In love and in mercy and in grace. Jesus was the express image of God walking on the earth. He didn't change when He left here and gave us that same ability. Right? Amen. And so, if we want to see the Master, we want to see God, we look at the Master, and we know exactly how our God is, makes it easy for us not to get in tradition, because now we know our God is good. And then, whenever we say, well, I prayed, then you just stop your sentence. Because the next thing you're going to say is going to be wrong. Unless you stop and say, and God's going to do what God said He's going to do. Right? You can stop yourself midstream. I prayed, but God's going to do what He said He's going to do. Instead of saying, I prayed, but it didn't work. Or I've been standing forever, and I just don't know if it's God's will. What length of time do you go to until you stop and decide, well, that must not have been God's will? Did you hear from God before you started? And if you did, when are you going to quit? And I'll tell you when you're going to quit is when you decide God's not good anymore. That's the level you'll go to. Well, I believed it, but, you know, maybe not. All of a sudden, you found where your stopping point is. You've hit your limitation, right? You've hit your limitation right there. How'd we get all the way over there? Wicked and lazy servant. We don't want to be one of those. Amen? Our master isn't a bad master. He's a good master. And for us to believe a lie would put us in this category and would keep us from ever getting anything to, you know, if it would put you in the category of digging the hole, burying the money, and doing nothing. And now you're going to stand before God and you're going to hear, you wicked, lazy. Do anybody in here want to hear that? No. So many times when we refuse to serve God, when we refuse to believe His Word, what we're literally doing is saying, I don't believe you're good. I don't believe you are who you say you are. I've experienced this. I haven't experienced this. And because of those things, this is what I believe, and this is where I'm standing. And you're standing in a place where God cannot bless you, cannot help you. As much as He loves you, nothing's going to happen in your life. Right? He's a good God. Right? And if you think elsewise, let me change your thinking right now. If anybody's here and you don't think He's good, you're wrong. Okay? I don't even have to stutter. I don't have to backstep. I don't have to backpedal. You know, if a thousand, I used to have people come to me, argue with me for hours about whether God caused, allowed, or did something bad. You know, and they'd come to at you with scriptures to back them up why God just does these things. And you know, at the end of the night, I'd say, you know what? Here's what I know. God's good. I don't care if I don't have 20 scriptures to rebut what they've just said. I don't need them. God is good. His word is good. He's doing good. In fact, he's doing all the good he can possibly do in your life. And if you want him to do more good, give him more room. Right? He'll do it. Just give him a chance to be good. It's what he does. It's who he is. It's like you just give him a little more room and he moves in and good happens. Why? Because he's good. He didn't have to try and do anything. Good was waiting on you to move. You were in the way. Right? And all of a sudden you moved and, ooh, good. Hey, I like that. Why? He's good. Right? We don't want to get into tradition and not knowing God. Know him. He's good. Don't let your mind be changed. I said this in prayer the other night, and I'll say it again. And I know you're going to hear me say he's good. If you hear me, most of the time if I'm up here, you're going to hear it a lot. Because it's truth. And I want people to get it in here so they can get it in here. Because sometimes it's their head and their stinking thinking keeping their heart, which knows what's right, from receiving. Right? Their heart, you know what? People's heart knows God's good, but they're letting their head run away with them. Oh, I know God's good, but what about that little kid? How could that happen to them? Stop. God's good. If your mind starts running away from you, God's good. You may not want the answer. You know, my mom told me one time, she said, you know, I know you did some things when you were a kid, and I don't want to know. And I'm glad I didn't know when you were doing them. Why? You don't need to know everything. You may not be able to handle the answer. I had somebody come to me and say, you know what? I'd rather believe God took my husband than believe I could have prayed and he'd have been all right. Why? It was easier, right? It was easier. Failure's easy. He was in heaven. Not a good place to be. Wicked and lazy servant. Wow. Now I see why Brother Moore says, where'd that time go? Well, then you should have at least took my money to the bank. And then when I got back, I could have. He was so selfish and so lazy, he was too lazy to go to the bank. That's lazy. I mean, you're talking about, you know what? He gave me one thing and he's leaving. Ooh, the master's leaving. I'm doing nothing until he gets back. He's lazy. He's thinking of ways to be lazy. Right? He's lazy. We're not that way, are we? No. We're intense. We're serving God with intensity. We're doing all we can with what he's given us to do in every instance, no matter what that is. Right? Talking to you and me, right? Amen. I'm listening. I'm learning. God's helping us. Amen. I called him lazy and told him what he should have done. The man made no effort at all, no intensity. Of course he wasn't excited. He didn't even honor the opportunity that he was given. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. What an opportunity when the man of God calls you or the church calls you or God says, hey, I want you to do this. Same thing. Right? Same thing. And he says, hey, we need help in this area. And your mind immediately thinks, you know, I don't like doing that. What do you do? Shut up, head, heart. You take over. Not only am I going to do it, I'm going to do it. Great. Guess what? That's God's house. God asked me to do it. It's the things of God. What? I'm going to do it and do it good. In other words, that stool may have been clean before I got to it. When I get done, it's going to be double clean. Right? Our cleaning people just bless me because you guys don't know what happens back there. And they just go back there and they take care of it. And if you let your head think about some of the things they do, you won't do them. I'm sorry. You say, you know what? He made the mess. You go find him in the crowd. Get him in here to clean that up. No. Serving in love. They walk in there and they make it cleaner than it was before the day started in the first place. They don't just stop at cleaning up the mess and say, well, that's good enough. We'll get it later. They make it clean enough that when the next person walks in, they never knew it wasn't clean. Praise God. That is an intense heart for God. People say, it's just the bathroom. Yep, it's God's bathroom. Right? Better yet, it's what God asked him to do. I don't care if it's your neighbor's bathroom. I'll never forget the first time God asked me to mow my neighbor's yard. Oh. You know, I got flesh, guys. I'm growing. And God knows I'm growing, and this is a test. I could hear it in the back of my mind. This is a test. And I'm thinking, maybe it's only a test. Maybe if I say yes, I won't have to mow. Wrong again. Not only was I to say yes, I was to mow it. And I was to mow it good. And I had weed-eated it. I made it just like I would have made my own yard. Right? Now, did my head or my flesh like it? No, they didn't even like it while they were doing it. You know what? I don't care. I don't care what my head or my flesh want to do. I'm going to serve God with intensity. You know what? Sometimes that's not going to cause you comfort. Or you could say it another way, it's going to cause your flesh discomfort. Amen? But the next time it won't be near. You know what? I had to do it 3 or 4 times. Because what happened was, over time, they were aging. They were an elderly couple. And their ability to mow just wasn't really that great. And so, you know, what a blessing it was to be able to do that for that short time. Little did I know I was moving away soon and I wouldn't be there to do it again. You know? So I got to be a blessing that short time. But you know what? If I'd have let my head lead me, I'd have dug a hole, put the money in it, and covered it up. Or I said, or that wasn't God. He knows I hate to mow. He'd never ask me to do that. He's God. He's got to know I hate to mow, right? He would never. How many times are we going to do that? Never here at Faith Life Church, right? We're not going to do that at all. We're going to do exactly what God asks us to do when He asks us to do it, because we're not wicked and lazy servants. We are intense servants that do it with all our heart. 1 Corinthians 9. We've hit on this a little bit already. I don't know why Paul had to talk about running. But Paul served as an example of a very intense man of God. He went places. I'll guarantee you, we would have... You know, when they said, I'm going here, and I know beatings wait me. They're awaiting me there. We just said, well, that no way God would have me go there then. We said, we'd have went and prayed through. Yeah. Until we talked ourselves out of it and did not go there. Right? Because why? Well, I'm not going to get beat up. You know? We'd have talked ourselves out of it. Right? No, we wouldn't. We would have said, yep, that's where God said to go. That's where I'm going. Amen? That's what team God told me to be on. That's what team I'm going to be on. Oh, yeah, but I've been on that team for a long time. Did God tell you to get off of it? Was it okay when you started it? Did you start it because you were looking for advancement? Or did you start it because you love God? Right? You know, God sees your heart. That's what this whole thing's about. He knows your heart. He knows your heart from the beginning. Right? He doesn't wait and say, wow, you really surprised me. I thought you were doing this because you love me. He's never surprised. When you don't do it, or when you do it for the wrong reasons, he's like, nah, has no value. That's wood, hay, and stubble. Has no value. Didn't do it because he loved me. Did it because he wanted something. Right? Not like the other, give my guy with 5, the guy with 2. What'd they want? They wanted to advance their master. They wanted to increase him. They weren't looking. Now, granted, they got it, right? But they didn't. The master didn't say, you know, here, I'm going to give you 5. If you do good with these, multitudes of things, you're going to rule. He didn't say that. He just gave them five and two. He didn't give them any promise at all. See, so many times we're looking for the promise. Well, I do it. What's in it for me? You know, I could be on the yard team for a while if I knew you were going to make me usher. Huh? That's not a gift. That's a trade. That's like Christianity barter. I'll give you this. You give me that. Be faithful with what he tells you to do and what he gives you. Let him decide where you go next. If you're faithful, you will be promoted. Right? You know the master? These guys did. They weren't worried about what was going to happen to them if they went out and got their five. They weren't concerned because they knew the master. Right? We know our master. You're not going to do something. He said, you can't do anything for me. Right? Without receiving it back a hundredfold in this lifetime with persecution. Hear how quiet I said that? With persecution. I didn't quote the whole verse. Paul, 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 24. All of your heart. Is that how we're going to serve him? With all of your heart. Paul says in verse 24, Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Now, if you were doing something and you thought only one person out of the people you were with were going to get the prize, you're either going to be average, complacent, lazy, or a winner. Right? Because you got a choice there. Everybody's running. So you can say, well, I can't beat him anyway. I'm just going to jog. You know, I don't like running anyway. I'll try something else. You know, I don't think God's called me to this. Maybe I could do something else. You could think of 1,000 excuses to fail, or you can train and train and train to win. Right? And you can train to do your best. It says, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way to get the prize. In other words, if everybody else is jogging fast and you're walking, you don't count in that verse. You're not running in such a way as you get the prize. If everybody else is serving God with intensity and you're sitting there leaning on your rake. Okay. Nobody here does. I'm not talking about anybody here. You know, and again, we want to be more intense because we're already intense, right? We're intense. We are serving God with all our heart. And better yet, we refuse not to serve him. Secondly. Not to not serve him with all our heart. There you go. There's your double negative. I told you I'd get one in before the day was over. We refuse. We are going to serve him with all our heart. And if I find one place in my life, and don't get me wrong, in 6 years I found a whole lot of them. And I figure in the next year, 6 years, I'm going to find a whole lot more. But guess what? I'm going to change. Right? Am I going to be tempted not to change? Yes. I was tempted the first 6 years not to change. Guess what? Next 6 years, I might be tempted not to change. But I'm going to change. I'm going to serve God with intensity. He's a good God. He's got good things going on. He loves people. And because he loves people, I love people. I love to see people saved. I love to see people healed. I love to see people set free. I love to see people grab hold of God's word when they didn't see it before. And their life is changed forever. When we started, God enabled us to start teaching Bible studies, and you'd see people come in there and they had heard everything in the book. You can't even imagine the question. Yes, you can imagine the questions we got. Everything in the book. And then one day they got a hold of it. Wait a second. That wasn't God. God had a good plan for me. He's a healing, loving, good God. And you'd see the spark come in their eye, and it changed them forever. Changed them forever. Some of them were in this church. They were in those Bible studies. Praise God. I remember the first time I listened to a tape by Brother Moore. I'm like, first thing I said is, man, I know nothing. You know? Then I came here and figured out I really didn't. I knew what I knew, and I had some ability, and I was doing the best I could with the ability I had. But God wanted to increase me, didn't he? And he is stretching me in many ways. Anytime he talks about jogging in the Word. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. In other words, it's not always going to be fun. Strict training is not fun. Diets are not fun. Not all. I mean, lots of people, I'm still waiting to see somebody smile and jog without purpose. I said that one time. Next time I saw somebody jogging down the road, they smiled at me on purpose, thinking I would jog. No, I'm going to jog. Stop. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Praise God. I can train strictly to get a crown that lasts forever. Right? See, you gotta look at those things. You gotta change the way you think. Yeah, here on the earth you might win. You get that little cup and it falls over and it breaks off and you throw it away. Right? Because it didn't mean anything. Right? I mean, I got some medals and some stuff for doing different things. I never look at them. I've not seen any. I don't even know where my letter jacket is. Any of you guys know where yours are? No. Why? Because you don't care. They don't last. Nobody knows your name at your high school when you're 44 years old. You walk in there and say, "Hey, I'm Dave Vaughn." They go, "Yeah, you are." Okay. Why? You don't mean anything. You're yesterday's news. You did nothing. We're not competing for that kind of a crown. We're competing for a crown that lasts forever. When we go into strict training, when we serve with intensity, when we run the race to win, we're running it to gain godly things, eternal things. We're gaining it. We're gaining people's lives. That's a crown that lasts forever. When you do something that causes someone else to be saved, guess what? Guess when that's forgotten? Never. Never. You're going to go to heaven. Everybody here is going to go to heaven someday. And somebody's going to walk up to you and they're going to say, "You did this one little thing." And you're not even, you don't even know you did it. And because you did it, it helped me to get saved. Praise God, that's eternal. You're going to hear it. You're not going to hear it here. You might get to pray the prayer with somebody here, and that's great. But that's not all there is to it. I walked in that bathroom one day, and I was getting ready to leave church, but I saw you working to clean up that mess. And I thought, if they'll serve that God that hard, that's a God I can serve. I stayed in church and came forward that day. That's eternal. Praise God. That's eternal. Those are the things that last. That is precious metal. You can put it in the fire all you want. Guess what's happening? It's coming back out more refined. The only thing that can happen to it is get more refined. Amen? It's eternal. We like eternal stuff. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, we don't run like someone running without cause, running aimlessly. Right? We're not running aimlessly. And see, we got to remember that. Sometimes you're not in at the end of the race or at the beginning of the race. You're in the middle and you're jogging along and you're getting tired and you really don't see anything going on. And you know what? I don't feel like I'm really accomplishing anything, you know, and you want to quit. You want to go to average. You know what? I'll just slow down a little bit. I don't really see it. You know, I'll slow down. And so you slow down. What are you doing? You're letting yourself become average, right? Because you forgot that you're competing for a crown that lasts forever. You forgot who you were serving. You forgot the gift of God inside you. Amen? But we don't forget here. We keep on running. See, that's what I was telling you. In the 6 years, we've had some spurts where we run faster, but we've never drawn back. You know, I remember a few years ago, we were doing some other business, and they said, "Let's do this, this, and this." And I said, "How about we lay out for a year?" And they said, "Nope." And I said, "No, thank God," because that was my head thinking, "I'm tired of dealing with things. Why don't we lay out for a year? Why don't we slow down?" You know what? It's the same in life as it is spiritually. There's no such thing as staying the same. You're either decreasing or you're increasing. If you're staying the same, watch out behind you because you're getting ready to hit something. Right? We don't do that. We run like somebody that's got purpose. Amen? Amen. We're not going to become satisfied. When you become satisfied, you lose your zeal. A Christian without zeal is generally a Christian that doesn't know God or has forgotten. Right? Remember he warned you about becoming satisfied. He warned me. He warned us all in Deuteronomy 8. He said, if you've been when you build the big house, when you got all the money, when your flocks increase, watch out that you don't forget me. When you get satisfied, you forget God. That's what it said. Deuteronomy 8, right? You guys believe me?
Yes.
We can go there. That's what he said. Don't become satisfied, you'll forget me. Right? Because what's he want to do whenever they increase and they get build houses and they get big flocks? Is he to say, then set back and think how good you are? No, he says, then do more. Right? What? What do you, what did he do? These guys that just went out and got this five, what do you think he was thinking? I just got you five and now you're going to give me more to do? Because that's what he said. He said, you've been faithful over these. I'm going to make you ruler over a bunch. Right? A lot of us would say, I just wanted to get you the five. Come on, man. I'm not looking to be ruler. I'm looking to be ruler. You looking to be ruler? Over much. Intensity is with all your heart. In Deuteronomy, he said, you can love him with all your heart. Deuteronomy 6. In Deuteronomy 10, he said, you can serve him with all your heart. Wow, 9:30. Deuteronomy 26, he said, to observe his commands. How to do it? With all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13, he said, you could seek him, but you're not going to find him until you seek him with all your heart. Right? You got a lot of people seeking parts of God with parts of themselves. Right? Yeah. I remember I was seeking prosperity a long time ago. But I wasn't seeking God. I was seeking prosperity. I just knew God had it. And so I was trying to get some prosperity from him without him really noticing I was there. I could get that prosperity, get out of here real quick, and then do whatever I wanted to do. Right? And no one else has done that. So, learn from my mistake. Don't do that. Right? And then I found this next verse, actually, because it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I learned how to seek him because you seek him with all your heart. You can seek ye first the kingdom of God all you want, but you got to seek it with all your heart. All your heart is a method of doing things for God. It has to be done this way, right? It's like an ingredient that you must have in order to have God's best, right? To do the most with what God gives you, you have to have that ingredient. It has to happen. You cannot maximize the power of God, the gifts of God, the things of God in your life and through your life if you don't do it with all your heart. Right? You can get B's, you can get C's, you can even get D's. But if you want A's, you're doing it with all your heart. Amen? Kids, if you're in school and you want A's, do your schoolwork with all your heart. Right? Don't do it like Dave did it. I didn't say Dave was right. Actually, I said Dave was dumb. Was. Now Dave serves with all his heart. Amen? Amen. We want to not take the easy way out. Serving God with all our heart will get us doing the things he's called us to do. Let's look at one. Let's go to Philippians 3. Let's look at Paul again. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 12. And if you go up, let's just go up a little bit here. Philippians 3. He talks about, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. A lot of people, they're going to stop right there. They're going to say, oof, I ain't pressing in for that. Yeah, you are. Why? Because these are the things he did for you, so you don't have to do a lot of them, first of all, right? He went to hell, so I want to know that he went to hell so I don't have to. Right? I want to know that he bore stripes on his back so I don't have to. I'm going to partner up with some of his suffering. Amen? Amen. I'm going to partner. But you know, you're also going to partner up with that with persecution. Amen? Amen. And we don't like to say it too loud. But you know, a lot of people stop right there. They're never going to get to the next part that Paul took. We're talking about Paul. You know, he's writing to the Philippians, and he's saying, you know, they had to be thinking, wow, I'm such a loser. Paul's pressing. I mean, he's been in prison. He's been beaten. He's pressing. I'm sitting back here with nothing happening, and I don't have near the heart he has. No, they didn't say that. They read the letter, and they got intense, right? The Philippians were the ones that helped him. They're the ones that sent him money, right? They're the ones that believed in his ministry. They were intense. Amen? They were an intense people. But Paul said all these things. I want to know him. I want to become like him in his death. Right? You know, and you're just reading this and you're thinking, man, I don't know, come like him in his death and somehow to attain a resurrection from the dead. And then he says, not that I've already obtained all this. And you're thinking, wow, if Paul ain't got it, I ain't got a chance. Right? Wrong. We can have it because we just got to have the same intensity he has. Right? Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of, for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. Put the King James up there in verse 14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's why we're intense. We're pressing towards the mark. We've got a mark to hit, right? We've got a God to serve. We've got a good God. We got a good reason to press. We've got a good reason to be intense. That's why Satan's trying to spread the gospel of a bad God. People won't serve him. When they find out he's good and he's got a high calling and he's got a good life and he's got good plans, and guess what? You're in the worst time of your life. We were talking about this the other day driving down the road. I said, you know what? This is the worst part of our life on earth. As good as it is, it's the worst you're ever going to have, because heaven, it can't compare to it. I don't care how good you have it on earth, you can't compare it to heaven. But while we're here, we're pressing. We're pressing and we're pressing and we're pushing. We're running the race to win. We're refusing to lose. We're lacing up our jogging shoes every morning, even on the mornings we don't feel like it, even when it's raining, even when there's 1,000 excuses why we shouldn't go. God said go. Right? And because God said go, we're going. And we're pressing and we're going to be intense. We're going to be more intense. Right? You guys going to give up? No, there's not one person here giving up. We got a new building, right? We got a new year coming up. Good plan with a good God and a high call. What are we going to do? Are we going to shrink back or press towards the mark? You're going to do one, right? We're going to press towards the mark. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. God's good to us, isn't he? Praise God. You know, when we have that mark, when we have that goal, you know, I think it was, I forget who said it, but he said, you may never reach your goals, but you'll always hit your limitations. Right? If you're average, you'll always make it. You'll always make it if you're average. It's so easy to be average. You can go to the principal at the end of the year and get your locker combination and be average. You know what? I can't help my daughter with algebra today. Never took it. I was too average. Hallelujah. I'm okay. I'm okay not knowing algebra. I know God. I got a higher call. Thank God. Thank God. But we've got to keep ourselves stirred up, guys. We can't forget his goodness. We can't forget, even in the times whenever it doesn't seem like everything's going, or your head's thinking one way, or the devil's attacking here, or they've asked you to do something that doesn't seem like your call. You know what? Press on. Stir yourself up. Do the things God's called you to do. Do them with all your heart, and God will do the blessing. Amen? Amen. You guys got a song?